Here it is, the first of two podcasts you're going to be getting from us this week.
Isn't that special?
It's Dave and Darren in the morning with the top five things. These are the top five things that happen over the course of our morning show, which I guess now's as good a time as any to remind people you can hear on the FM radio. You don't need your phone or your laptop or your tablet or however you're listening to this. I mean, we're very glad that you're listening to this. Let's not kid each other.
You've had this opportunity for 3 years.
Still meeting people who come up and say that they miss us on the air. And it's like a knife in my heart every time I hear it. I don't know how to react because it's a really sweet thing that they're trying to say to me.
Uh-huh.
But what they're also saying to me is that thing that you've been working on for 3 years, I've never heard of it. I try and catch the podcast from time to time. Maybe we don't mention enough that what you're hearing here is kind of like a best of what happened on the air. Anyway.
Either way.
Yeah, we're glad you're here, and we should probably get the show on the road. I've started the show off on a really bummer note now. I'm going to go sit in the corner and cry. Why don't you enjoy, I don't know, where do we start?
I'm going to go bite my pillow. Number one.
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 One. Number one.
Try and figure out what this guy invented. I'm going to tell you his story, and I'll start to give you more and more details, and eventually I think you'll get it figured out. Guy's name, the year is 1954.
All right.
Guy's name is Steve Henson. Steve Henson has invented something that would change the world.
Huh.
And it's a big deal. Probably more in this part of the country than in other parts of the country, if you're to believe what the stereotypes tell us. He moved from Alaska to Santa Barbara, California.
All right.
In 1954. Steve Henson was a plumber by trade when he whipped up a little recipe that would take over the world.
Liquid plumber?
No. 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 It's
okay, well, there's my first guess.
No. It's given the information I've given you, that's not a bad guess.
So far.
He's a plumber. His name is Steve Henson. He moves from Alaska to Santa Barbara, California. It was there in Santa Barbara, California that he owned and lived on a farm.
Plumber in a drum. Is that a thing?
No. Plumber in a drum? No, that's not a thing.
So you're saying he didn't invent it?
What he invented had nothing to do with plumbing.
Okay.
He lived and worked and owned a farm called Sweetwater Ranch, which would become the birthplace of his creation.
Okay, Sweetwater Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Saltwater taffy.
Oh. Boy, you're so close. The answer is ranch dressing.
Ugh.
Yes, his buttermilk forward recipe for this salad dressing became massively popular. Visitors from far and wide would stop by his Sweetwater Dude Ranch to stock up on ranch spice packets to take home. Over the years, others would follow in his footsteps, developing their own ranch formulas. Ranch really became a big deal in the 90s when it was embedded into snack foods, appetizers, and all manner of entrees.
And then he went into hiding. And hence, Hidden Valley.
This says the average American has ranch dressing 15 times a year.
Okay.
That number's got to be way higher here in the Midwest, right? Oh, 15 times a year you have ranch dressing? That seems on the low end. Or am I someone who's just crazy for ranch? First time I ever had ranch was in Dorito form with the Cool Ranch Doritos.
Ah, yes.
You never forget it.
Ah, yes.
Tell me more about this. And then when someone explained that the ranch was a flavor derived from a salad dressing, I said, tell me more. What goes on?
What goes on in your strange new world?
What a time to be alive. Crunch all you want. We'll make more. Oh, my, I will crunch all I want. Thank you.
You didn't make chip one, Jay Leno. What's this we? What do you got?
There's a Doritos hack that people are going crazy for.
Yeah?
They say it completely changes everything.
Yeah?
And I have not tried it, but I think I'm going
just
to.
Combining Doritos?
Mm-mm, nope. They say if you want to take it to the next level with your Doritos.
And who doesn't?
What, right? We all want to do this. This Doritos hack may change your life. Put your Doritos, they say, in the freezer.
Oh. Well, I like to freeze a lot of things.
Stashing Doritos in the freezer just before you eat them is the best way to experience the chips.
Huh.
Because the coldness of the chip enhances its flavor. They say, look, drinks taste better cold. Why would Doritos be any different?
Well, I don't follow the logic there.
I'm looking here. There's
one's a liquid. One's a solid.
There's an interview with Food and Wine. There's a chef named PJ Calipa. And he says this whole idea of freezing your Doritos is, his words, a game changer. Freezing the chips also makes them crunchier. So you're getting more flavor.
More crunch.
And more crunch. What makes Doritos tastier when frozen? No one has conducted research into specifically why this occurs.
No one should.
But.
Some things. Let's not. Some things we shouldn't flirt with.
Science doesn't have answers for us.
They do.
A 28-gram serving of Doritos contains approximately 2 grams of water. Are you following what orders?
What unit again was that?
28 gram serving of Doritos contains only 2 grams of water.
Gram, man, like gram of dirt.
Because the water content is so low, if you freeze a Dorito, that does not alter the structure of the Dorito at all.
I didn't figure it would.
It doesn't really alter the taste. And at most, the microscopic ice crystals that form on the Dorito chip will make the chip actually feel in your mouth crunchier. There's also, I guess, a delayed response to the spices used in the chips when they're frozen. It's like it lingers a little bit more. Colder foods slow down the rate at which the receptors in your mouth respond to flavor. So if you do Cool Ranch Doritos, make them Cold Ranch Doritos. Put those in the freezer, wait a little bit, take them out, and enjoy what could be an absolute explosion of flavor in your mouth.
Freeze every meal.
I would caution you, though. Don't just throw the whole bag in there.
Just take some out and put them in a little baggie?
Yes, this might not be right for you, and I'd hate for you to waste an entire bag of delicious Doritos.
Well, I don't
Doritos
think it would waste. I mean, you just let them thaw.
Simply put a handful of Doritos in a separate sealable bag and pop them in the freezer. Give them an hour or two, and then go crazy. You have my permission.
If you were
to go crazy with your frozen Doritos.
If you were to put a like family size or party size bag of Doritos in your freezer, there's not a lot of room for anything else. That takes up a lot of space.
Well, I think what you need to do
because
is
you got all that air.
Open the bag, kind of burp that air out of it, and then cinch it down. That's what I would do.
Burp me.
I went on a kick in the early 2000s. I thought I was really something else when I invented, Dorito salad, which was just basically putting 5 different types of Doritos in a bowl and bringing it to parties. Yes. And then I would do this. I would be the guy that would like hover around the chip table and be like,
"Oh, you enjoying that?
You enjoying that Doritos salad?" That's a Dave LaVore original right there.
As a matter of fact,
I'll get you the recipe.
Most of the parties you threw were just to present
all of
Dorito
them.
Salad.
All of them. 100% of them were. Isn't it crazy how the Cool Ranch and the nacho,
what the hell?
You wouldn't think they would work together.
What the hell are you talking
there's
about?
There's a lot going on there, isn't there? Hey, you're welcome.
Is this the only reason? Is this why you had us over? It is.
We're going to try and wrap things up around 10 o'clock. So if you could really go after that Dorito salad, that would be great.
10 o'clock or until the salad's gone.
Once the last chip leaves the bottom of that giant Tupperware bowl.
This party's over.
I want all of you
out of here.
O-W-T spells out. When my patented, and I really thought like it was gonna, I was going to be famous. Like, you know, like the guy who invented Caesar salad, right? I thought maybe that'll be my claim to fame, inventing Dorito salad. Huh? Caesar salad is not named after Julius Caesar. It's named after a chef in Mexico whose name was Cesar. Not a lot of people know that. Julius Caesar never had Caesar salad. It was 2,000 years before he was, or 2,000 years after he died.
Well, I bet he did have a salad.
I don't know.
And it was Caesar's.
I'll tell you this about Julius Caesar. He never had my Dorito salad. And now this is what I'm thinking.
I think that's safe to say.
I think after a long time of not bringing Dorito salad to parties.
It's back.
I think it's back.
And now?
I freeze it.
It's going to be a frozen Dorito salad.
I'm going to show up with like a cooler, maybe some dry ice.
Do that. Show up with a cooler with dry ice and bring out your Dorito salad.
Six different kinds of Doritos in there. And they're frozen.
I don't go to parties, but I would go to that.
Yeah?
Or at least film it. Film it so I can watch it.
I could show up with like one of those coolers that like they put body organs in.
Exactly. Like,
and then pull out my world famous Dave Lavora Dorito salad. Now it's been frozen.
Here's the kidney donation. Uh-huh. So where did you get the... where did you get the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center cooler? Wouldn't you like to know?
I jumped a guy.
Well, that's interesting that you would just admit that.
I had to take my kid for a physical so he could do sports. And as we were there in the waiting room, this guy comes in with a cooler from one of these local outfits.
Yeah.
You used to do this as a volunteer, right?
I did.
He had a cooler.
Transported blood.
And the cooler on it, it just said on the side, it said, blood and urine. Mm. And I thought, that's a pretty.
They're coming to the Rust Belt, aren't they?
Exactly. How heavy metal is that? Walking into a place with a cooler that says blood and urine.
And then you pull a Dorito salad out of that?
With dry ice? Can you imagine the presentation where, like, the dry ice, there's like that.
Yeah. You know, what'd you bring, Dave?
There's that smoke, that condensation smoke. Uh-huh. It's like, you guys are, I hope you're all ready to get blown away. Because what I have in this cooler
is going to change this party.
Is a game changer. I want everyone to mark down the exact date and time they tried my new frozen Dorito salad, because you're going to remember your life as before you had tried it and after.
In two parts. Uh-huh.
Welcome to the dawning of the new age.
The age of man is over.
That's right. Dave Lavora's frozen Dorito salad is now available exclusively at this party. And
you're very welcome.
Tell all your friends.
And your children. And your children's children.
Everyone, get your phones out. I'm about to open up the cooler. You'll want to. This is going to look great on your TikToks.
I hope you've all had your shots.
We're Dave and Darren.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
I haven't issued this warning all week, but I'm gonna, here at the tail end of the week, issue a warning for everyone to please, as I read this from an advice column. Normally, I would hold this on for Monday's show when we do an advice column review.
Yeah, but
I don't want to take a chance of, I can't hold on to this one.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what you need to hold on to is.
Hold on to your cat.
Everybody hold on to your cat, because. This one takes a turn. Help. This is a column to the Dear Prudence advice columnist. Mm-hmm. Help. My brother sucked me into a weird lie at work.
Oh, no.
And it's becoming impossible to keep up.
I love it already.
Dear Prudence, I recently got a job at a small company where my brother works. My brother is a year older than me, and our birthdays are in the same month.
Okay.
A few weeks before I started the job, my brother informed me that he told his coworkers he had a twin sister and asked if I could please go along with it if anyone asked. I asked him why he would say that.
What's the point of this?
And he said that he wasn't sure. He had just decided to say he had a twin one day when his coworkers were talking about their siblings. I had never thought of my brother as a dishonest person.
Yeah.
So this really surprised me. But I agreed to go along with it to avoid conflict at my brand new job.
How much should it matter?
I've been working there for a few months, and it hasn't come up that often. But I've had to deal with some questions about what it's like to be a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was introduced to most of my coworkers as my brother's twin sister. When someone asked my brother why we had different birthdays, he came up with an explanation about how our mom had a difficult labor. Which technically makes me the older twin, even though I'm a year younger.
This is good.
I'm starting to regret going along with my brother's lie.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what I should do at this point.
I need to quit this job.
I think someone is eventually going to realize that we were born in different years.
Well, yeah. Don't you have to... You supplied information when you... You supplied information to the HR department, to the business office.
Should I try and get my brother to come clean? Is it better to just keep up with the charade, or should I cut my losses and start looking for a new job? Signed, just a sister, not a twin.
Not a twin spin.
Wow.
That is fun.
That's your two for two.
That is. Brought to you by Mason and Scott.
Who are not twins.
They are not twins. They're friends.
Yes, co-workers, colleagues, partners, even.
They're business partners.
Prudence's answer is pretty delicious, too, here.
Yeah.
Prudence writes, wait a minute. You didn't say your birthdays are a couple of days apart. You said they were in the same month.
Yeah.
So the story your brother is telling has your mom in labor for a week or more in between babies?
That's correct.
Apparently, and I Googled this, it can happen, but it's rare. And I guarantee people are questioning your story already. I hate that you've been roped into this deception, and I worry that being a known liar is going to be bad for your professional reputation. So what do you do? First, your brother owes you an apology for putting you in this situation. So ask for it. In terms of the office, there are not a lot of great options here, but the best way forward is to retroactively make it a joke that everyone just failed to get. So the next time a coworker asks,
We're not.
Whether you and your brother wore matching outfits as children, reply, oh, I'm not. We have a joke about being twins because we're so similar as kids, and sometimes we take it a little too far. We're just regular siblings. Yeah. Warn your brother that this is going to be happening.
Yeah.
And ask him to please leave you out of any totally unnecessary weird lies in the future. Wow. Why would you tell a lie like that? I don't know. I don't know.
I just
people got, were talking
people
about.
People were talking. I just got caught up in the moment. Yeah.
I don't know. I had to outdo everybody. Just being my sister is not enough.
I had to just one up them.
How come you guys have different birthdays? Oh yeah, no. Mom had a difficult time
for a year. For a year, I was in there.
All right, number three.
Number three.
A new study suggesting, Darren, that parrots love to make video phone calls to each other.
Parrots.
That's right. Birds.
Hello.
Right, parrots. Research says that when they interact with each other on video calls, it makes them very happy.
Huh.
How many pet parrots would you guess there are in American homes?
Pet parrots?
Yeah. How many people have a pet parrot?
Well, I can tell you I wouldn't want one.
Why not? What is it about a parrot in particular that you wouldn't care for?
I have to imagine they never shut up. Don't you think?
Well, I think that's the whole allure. Don't people want the parrot to talk?
Until they have one. And then it's like, shut up.
And it says the same stuff over and over again. Doesn't it? Like, you ever had to try to have a conversation with this thing? It's just a hello and I want a cracker. That's all it says. 20 million pet parrots in American homes. And research suggests that these parrots would be happier if they could call each other sometimes.
So that means like one out of every 16 people have a parrot.
Isn't that nuts to think about?
That seems high. That seems high.
Well,
some people could have more than one parrot.
Yeah, I got a feeling that if you have a parrot, you probably have more than one parrot, yeah?
What? And your intention was what? To recreate like an insane asylum? Is that the idea? Is that what you're going for? Is that what you want?
Yes, we got the
Welcome to the cuckoo nest.
We got the parrots because we were hoping to make our home as much like an insane asylum as anything.
Yeah, lunatics.
That's what we were going for. When we got all these parrots, we were hoping to replicate what it would sound like at a crazy house.
Yeah. That's what it seems like to me.
In the wild, parrots live in large flocks. But as pets, they're normal.
Wouldn't that be something to see?
What's that? A big flock of parrots? That would, yeah. See, that's another
thing. Scare you?
I'd be nervous.
Yeah, that'd scare you too.
They usually live alone or in small groups, though, when they're kept as pets. Researchers taught 18 parrots how to use an iPad to make video calls to each other. To do so, they had to ring.
That's your job.
What did you get done today?
Well, you promised not to make fun of me?
Sure. What'd you do?
Trains parrots to call each other on the iPad. You did what? You kind of tailed off there at the end. Parrots and an iPad.
18 parrots taught them how to make video calls to each other on an iPad.
You did what?
Uh-huh. You know, we're working on, we got two projects. And we got a big whiteboard. One is cure cancer, and the other is teach parrots to talk to each other on the iPad. Now that this is done, we can focus on this whole cancer sitch.
Yeah, the parrot thing wasn't that hard.
Researchers taught 18 parrots how to use an iPad to make video calls to each other. To do so, they had to ring a bell and choose a picture of another parrot to initiate a call lasting a maximum of 5 minutes. Researchers say the parrots made a total of 147 calls to each other over the course of the three-month study. The birds seemed to grasp that they were dealing with other parrots, and they began to display more social behavior like singing and preening. See, I thought it's been a million years since I had a parakeet. But I thought when...
What was the parakeet's name?
Barry. And...
Barry Bird?
Yes. His name was Barry. Barry the bird. And I ended up burying that bird.
Well, yeah, you knew that you were going to outlive it, right?
I had that wrapped around my head. Well, the bird died one day. I was in high school when I had this parakeet. And, the thing died one morning, and they don't live super long, you know, and it died. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. My bird died. And I went to school. I was in high school at the time. And then I get a call that I had to go to the counselor's office. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's this about? I haven't.
For grief counseling?
Yeah, that's what it was, a surprise grief counseling. His brother Dominic, he was like, your mother called and she says you're not processing the death of the bird well. I'm like, no, it's fine. I got this. It was a bird. And he was so nice. He was like,
he's in denial.
you can't, if you don't want to cry in front of your friends, I get it. But in this room.
But cry.
We're criers.
Cry in front of me.
Yeah.
Cry, David.
Yeah, that was kind of what.
David, cry.
That was kind of the gist of it. And I was like, it's really, it's fine. It was a bird.
Punch me, David. What?
No.
Punch me.
No, I'd like to.
Punch me in the gut.
I'd like to just go back to geometry. This is not what I want to do on a Tuesday.
No, come here, cry.
It was very sweet.
Yeah, they tried.
Mm-hmm. Study co-author Elena Hersky Douglas says the parrots interacted in a variety of ways. Quote, I was quite surprised at the range of different behaviors. Some would sing. Some would play around and go upside down. Others would want to show another bird their toys. Some parrot owners said their birds learned new skills from their friends during the video calls.
Look at what you don't have.
Including foraging and new vocalizations.
I got this last week. Don't touch it.
Participants said that the contact with the other parrots left their birds happier and better behaved. Researchers say some birds strongly bonded with each other, including two elderly male macaws.
Look at this new toy of mine. You can't afford it. Your owner won't buy it.
Oh, that's terrible.
You can't have it.
They weren't mean to each other.
You can't have it. You can't afford it.
This sounds like these two elderly male macaws really had a connection on the video calls. Is this feeling something real? That's kind of sweet. They had barely seen another macaw in their lives, and they were elderly birds. But they ended up dancing and singing enthusiastically together through the screen.
Like show tunes?
And saying, hi, come here, hello. Whenever one of them would move out of the video frame, the other one would say, hey, come here, hello. Researchers say video calls definitely appear to improve the quality of parrots' lives, although they warn that these birds can be choosy about who they respond to. They say the technology was introduced gradually, and the parrots were closely
monitored.
They started
singing
and
dancing like they were Gene Kelly and Danny Kaye.
The parrots were closely monitored by expert handlers. So if you're thinking about just putting an iPad in your bird's cage, I don't think you're supposed to do that right away. Where I was going with my bird that died, it was a parakeet, not a parrot. They're different birds. But you got them a little...
Parakeet, not nearly as expensive as a parrot.
No, that's why I wasn't that bummed about it when it died. But also, like, you get it a little mirror to put it in the cage, and it'll spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, and I thought you'd do that so that it thinks it's looking at another bird.
Yeah.
But you're telling me if I put an iPad in there, it knows that that's not another bird? Like, that's another bird, but a mirror isn't? I don't know. I guess I don't understand how parrots work, Darren, what I'm getting to.
We're giving these parrots a lot of credit.
All of the participants in the study say they valued the experience and would want to continue using the system with their parrots in the future. Maybe this is the next big app, some sort of Tinder for parrots.
Next thing you know, they're breaking into, gotta sing, gotta dance.
Well... Look, if they have another parrot to talk to, it probably makes your life easier, you know?
No.
Like, you don't have to deal with...
It'd be just worse.
You think so?
You gotta be kidding me. That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
What if I trained a parrot to just talk like Ken the Hawk Harrelson?
And I know you would.
You gotta be paping me. What in the hell are you doing?
Giving you a cracker, you stupid bird.
What do you think I'm doing?
What do you think I'm doing?
Four.
I was looking at Morgan Streckbine's Twitter this morning, and apparently she was out traveling in the middle of the night to see the Northern Lights.
Oh, yeah?
Which you could actually see around here.
Yeah, how far did she have to go?
I think she went to Loudoun.
Okay.
And was able to see the Northern Lights from there. I'm kind of bummed I didn't go. That seems like it would have been cool to see.
Were you invited?
No, but, I mean, I had some knowledge that the Northern Lights would be kind of visible in this area. I just couldn't figure out a way to make that happen.
It's kind of late for you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but it seems like the kind of thing. Here's the thing. I decided, well, it's none of my business what goes on in the middle of the night, and I'll be asleep, right?
It sounds like the sort of thing that you would tell your family about, and they would show disinterest.
Well, that's most things. I think that I think what I have is what they call FOMO. I feel like I missed out. I didn't think it was that big of a deal until I see the pictures that everyone's posting of the Northern Lights, and I think, oh, man,
you
I could
have FOMO.
I could have seen that without going that far away. I missed out. It would freak me out a little bit, too, I think, the Northern Lights. I think I'd be terrified of it, afraid.
So you, would do what, run from it?
I don't know. I think I would kind of cower in fear behind the car. Don't hurt me. Please.
You know what? Let's all agree we're not bringing Dave again.
This was a mistake.
Let's just forget about that from now on.
That's how most things go. I get invited to something and then they agree, let's not do that again.
He thinks the Northern Lights are ghosts.
Oh, I've got a recall you should know about here. The Consumer Product Safety Commission announcing the recall of 2.2 million sledgehammers.
Ba-da-da-da-ba-da.
Right. You can have a speeding train if you just lay down your track. The problem with these sledgehammers is they can hit you in the face.
So it's coming off the handle, huh?
That's what's going on. The sledgehammers can loosen prematurely and detach rather unexpectedly during use.
These sledgehammers are dangerous, big time.
These sledgehammers are made by Stanley Black & Decker and sold under DeWalt, Stanley, and Craftsman brand names. They say they've received 192 reports of the sledgehammer detaching.
And hitting people in the face?
Yep. There have been 2 reports of faulty sledgehammers causing injuries to the head and face. 25 various models are impacted by the recall. The recalled sledgehammers weigh between 2 pounds and 12 pounds.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wouldn't want to get hit in the face with a 2-pound sledgehammer. But also, and much more so, a 12-pound sledgehammer.
What happened to your face? I got sledgehammered.
It's the damnedest thing. I was showing this guy around my fruit cage because he wanted to be my honeybee.
Uh-huh.
And I opened up my fruit cage.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know,
yes,
sledgehammer to the face.
Oh, brother.
That's not fun. What are you doing? So, yeah, if you have one of these sledgehammers, you might want to get that looked at. The DeWalt sledgehammers are yellow and black, and the model number can be found on the hammerhead. The Craftsman sledgehammers are red and black, and the model number can be found on the hammerhead.
Hey, hammerhead, what do you think you're up to?
Stanley sledgehammers are yellow and black, and the model number on that can be found on the handle.
It's a good looking sledgehammer.
I got a Craftsman mower blade yesterday.
Look at you.
Well, I decided, I've got the mower blade and I got the attachment where I'm supposed to be able to sharpen the blade.
Ugh.
I just don't feel like it sharpens the blade to my satisfaction. So it's been a couple of years. I decided I'll just go out.
I don't like the idea of you sharpening anything.
Well,
other than maybe a pencil.
So I decided to get the new 21-inch mower blade. I'm going to go ahead and replace that.
Do you remember what you did with the weed whipper?
Yeah, I did have a weed whacker go rogue on me, and it traveled up the side of one of my legs. That was not my favorite summer.
I still can't figure that one out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not, it wasn't fun. So I replaced the mower blade yesterday, and I've done it before. It's not that big of a deal, but
I just don't like the sound of it.
Well, I decide if I'm going to do this, maybe I should watch a video just to make sure I'm doing it right. Because, when you take your lawnmower and you're working on it, you want to make sure that you... I remember that there's a way that you're supposed to tip it so that you don't mess things up. You want to make sure the carburetor's on top because otherwise it gets all messed up. And you don't want to bend your crankshaft,
Have you had any conversation with your neighbors is their homeowner's insurance higher because they live next to you?
Why do you make me sound like I'm an idiot? Why would it be higher? I don't. Every once in a while, I have a little bit of misfortune.
But I can
That's
just,
true.
I can just see something coming loose.
Mm. and it would affect them.
And traveling into their yard.
So I'm watching this YouTube video on how to replace your blade, lawnmower blade. Yeah.
This should be easy.
And this guy is going on about, you know, you want to make sure that you put it on the right way. Because if you put it on upside down, you're going to have problems. And I'm like, well, of course I know the right way to put the blade on. I fast forward through that, you know?
Uh-oh, you skipped through some of the tutorial.
Yeah, which was a mistake because it was like...
Of course it was a mistake.
It's a two-minute tutorial.
Yeah.
And I decided...
You can't watch 2 minutes?
Well, I just was really jonesing to get started on
the mowing. He doesn't go off on a tangent like he's not talking about his pretty girlfriend, is he?
No.
Cha, no, pretty damn mean.
You're thinking of the record store guy up in Dubuque.
But I could see someone doing a YouTube video where they go off on a little tangent.
Yeah, I've got that secured on there pretty tight. People say my girlfriend's pretty. Cha, pretty damn mean.
Now let's do it like this.
So I put the mower blade on, and I'm pretty pleased with how tight it's on and everything, you know? So then I go to mow my lawn. I go to pull the cord.
And it goes flying across the street into the neighbor's yard.
Oh, boy. That would be bad.
Hence the higher premium.
Well, it turns out there's like some sort of safety thing on it. Because now I'm trying
Thank God.
I'm trying to pull
now that's
the...
That's a good idea.
I'm trying to pull the...
starter.
Pull the starter, and the cord won't go. I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Because you got the blade
on
wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had it upside down.
I did. And to add to the insult to the mental
because
injury.
You had to skip through the video.
Uh-huh. And as I look, I rewatch the video and I watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, there are some clowns out there that don't pay attention to this stuff and they put it on upside down. And it's gotten so bad that they actually, he goes, look at this. They've got a right on the blade grass side. So that idiots know what side to put down to the grass.
So you take a second look at it.
Yeah, I put it on upside down. I'm one of the idiots that requires the sign.
And it doesn't just say grass, it says grass side.
Grass
because
side.
If you just said grass, what's that mean?
Ah, yes, the devil's lettuce. So, yeah. I was able to get it figured out eventually. But what should have been...
But you did get
what
it on the
What should
secure.
Have been... This was... This
it,
is.
It didn't come flying out.
No. Good. No, it was... I got it on... Eventually, I got it figured out. But yeah...
I put this thing on tight backwards.
Eventually, it knows.
This isn't going anywhere. Boy, when you put it on the wrong way, it's really snug.
Well, but also it knows, like the blade knows if it's on backwards, it catches, so it wouldn't start.
Right.
And yeah, I had to watch another video to explain why it wouldn't start, because there's this grizzled old guy goes, if your pull cord ain't working,
you got it on wrong.
Make sure it's on the right way. And I'm thinking, well, of course it's on the right. I've done this before.
No.
Yeah, no. I somehow, and the more I thought about it, as I was mowing my lawn, I thought about
you
it.
You were
it was,
mowing your lawn.
No, I did eventually get to mow the lawn because I did get it figured out. But I'm wondering, I've done this before. I've replaced the mower blade and I didn't have any problems. How is it that this time I did? And then I realized, well, it's a 50-50 chance that you put it on the right
it's
way.
It's a crapshoot.
I somehow lucked into putting it on the right way.
The first couple times.
Exactly. But then this time, because I was too busy.
Your number was up.
Exactly.
How'd you like to mow my lawn? Huh?
I'm pleased to report, though, that that's taken care of. And now that the old blade is off of my lawnmower,
I feel better. Cut. What a cut.
It does look a lot better. I do feel better now about being able to sharpen the old blade. Maybe I'll rotate
them
out.
Do we want to make any sort of lawn mowing bet for the Cubs and Sox this year?
No.
Like maybe the best overall record?
Are you out of your mind? Why would I make a bet about the White Sox?
Oh, I don't know. I thought because you're out of your mind?
No. 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 What about my asthma?
I'll give you diarrhea.
My asthma. I'll give you asthma.
No. Your opportunity to sucker me into some sort of lawnmower bet, that window is
that
closed.
Was three weeks ago.
Oh, believe that. I'm out.
that's some good critical thinking there.
See, I am capable of learning. It takes me a little bit longer, but I do figure things
longer
out.
Longer than most.
Mm. Number five. Number five.
There's a new research that says sexual arousal leads to greater willingness to get intimate with robots.
I suppose. So what you're saying is you're more likely to get intimate with a robot if you're horny.
That's what this research
as opposed to if you're just, you know, I don't know, having a sandwich.
Right. Horny people are more interested in robot sex
than people that aren't. The people that are, you know, maybe in the middle of something.
I got
I was cleaning the house, and so if this robot can help me clean the house, that'd be great. But
this study published in the Journal of Sex Research, and yes, we do subscribe to that journal, obviously. Otherwise, how could I be reading this? It suggests that sexual arousal can cause people to be more likely to have sex with a robot.
Natch.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Sure, I guess that makes sense. I'm not sure why we needed a study to tell us this.
I mean, they've been doing it with rubber dolls forever, right?
Advances in technology have led to recent breakthroughs in terms of AI and robots. Tools such as ChatGPT have made headlines for being so advanced they can pass standardized tests like the LSAT and MCAT. Concern with the ramifications of AI technology dominates conversations about academic integrity and job security, with considerable worry about vocational and educational repercussions. Should we wonder if this technology could be a threat to other aspects of our lives? Can you imagine being a hooker and a computer takes your job?
A computer took your job, Daddy. Kicked you in the butt.
Can't pay no wages. No honor. No respect. To explore people's willingness to engage in an intimate relationship with a robot.
Is it a relationship? Come on.
You knew what this was.
I can't quit you.
You're just another notch in my motherboard. To explore people's willingness to engage in an intimate relationship with a robot and how that is affected by sexual arousal, the researchers utilized what they call a convenience sample of 321 adult participants recruited through the internet and word of mouth. Hey, you wanna go do this?
Let's take it
horny
easy.
Computer.
Let's
thing?
Take it easy with the word of mouth.
All participants needed to be fluent in English and have watched pornography at least one time before in their life. Check and check. Participants then completed a 2-part 60-minute survey online. In the first part of the survey, participants filled out measures on demographics and willingness to engage intimately with both people and robots. 1 week after this, participants were asked to complete part two, where they viewed a 10-minute long video of people engaging in sexual activity, and they completed measures on sexual arousal and willingness to erotically engage with people and robots. So this was the study. Are you horny for a robot? I am not. Watch this porno for 10 minutes, okay? Now are you horny for a robot? Yeah, I guess a little bit. I guess I can make that happen.
What, do you got a Roomba?
They viewed a 10-minute long video. The researchers found that people were more likely to report being willing to have sex with a robot while they were experiencing higher levels of sexual arousal.
Yeah.
After viewing an explicit video, participants endorsed being more likely to have an intimate relationship, befriend, and have sex with a robot. There was no significant difference regarding their likelihood to love a robot before or after the video.
I'm also more willing. That hole in the ground.
Does this shock you that compared to women, men reported higher levels of willingness to have sex with robots?
Hello.
Thank you. Oh, no.
100% of men said yes.
This study in the New Journal of Sexual Research is entitled...
What kind of title they got?
It's entitled... Hot for Robots. Sexual arousal increases willingness to have sex with robots.
Robots.
Hot for robots? What's wrong with you people?
Is Van Halen getting back together?
I got it bad. Got it bad. Got it bad. I'm hot for robots. Men reported higher levels of willingness in regard to having sex with robots and engaging in an intimate relationship with a robot, both pre- and post-viewing of the sexually explicit video. But there were no significant gender differences in the likeliness of falling in love with a robot. This isn't about love.
Don't get hooked on me, baby.
As Anne and Nancy Wilson instructed us so expertly.
In the early 90s.
What about love? And as Tina Turner so famously said, what's love got to do with it? Just trying to have sex with a robot is all. Wow. This innovative study, it says here, successfully manipulated the sexual arousal and valiance of participants and provided the first quantitative evidence that states factors, in this case, sexual arousal, can influence people's willingness to engage erotically with artificial partners. Or as Darren so succinctly put it, horny people are more likely to do robots than non-horny people. This is something people got paid a lot of money to do, this research.
You shouldn't be shocked with the findings.
I mean, I'm not at all. I am a little shocked that somebody actually went through with doing this. Asking people if they would have robot sex and then showing them a video and asking them again to see if the answer changed. Yeah, I do. A robot sounds great. Let's go.
Cha.
Okay, calm down.
No, that's more than enough.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
You know, that did make me feel better.
Ah.
That was the Top 5 Things podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. I mean, from the sounds of it, it sounded like we sure enjoyed it.
What was it that Hayden Fry used to say? Scratch where it really hurts.
Hayes in the barn, let's go hunting. That's going to do it for the Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for having us on your phone or your laptop, however you're enjoying this. Thanks for subscribing and downloading and listening. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks!
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
And that's it. The game's over, okay? The game's over. Let the new games begin.
Show's over. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.